Dead. Tina Welladu. Ungwayagu. Dea Tina Walladu. Unsetta. Yuki Sandahea. Dea Tina Walladu. Singandesu. Dani. Oh. Dea Tina Walladu, in my language, the Oneida, means we give our thanksgiving, we greet you, we send you love. Dea Tina Walladu is acknowledging all of you. Ungweyagu, that is the people, the two-leggeds. Dea Tina Walladu, we continue to acknowledge, but this time, Yokinawa, that means that is the not only the people, but that is those other objects, the inanimate objects, the stone people, or the elders, or the rock people, the grandfathers. But when we go to those that fly, those winged ones, those that swim and crawl, we say Yawago, that means thank you to all of creation. And so when we come together, we say Dea Tina Walladu, Ungweo. We acknowledge all things that our great spirit, our creator, Sungandesu, has put here for us. So for me, my personal spiritual journey, well, first of all, I have to tell you, the past year I've been trying and trying to learn our language. And the Oneida language is some of the most difficult language to learn. But you know, when I say a word like hello, Sigu, or Siguli, to say those words, that's holy, that's sacred, that's... To say the word Yawago to someone instead of saying thank you, I say Yawago. To say that word, that's medicine. Indian people, we don't separate our spirituality from our craft making or from our family gatherings or from our dancing. We don't separate our basket weaving, or when we pray, we do not. It's all interconnected. Everything is connected. We look at that world as a sacred web. And you know, between you and I, that's what I really appreciate about being a UU. It's because it runs parallel with my tribal beliefs. Back close to 60 years ago, I was born to an Oneida man and a white woman, my mother. And I was adopted away from my Oneida family. And when I say family, I mean tribe. I mean teachings. And growing up in this family, they were Catholic. And so I went to church every single day, 6 days a week, going to church. And I was always feeling shamed or guilt or that I was naughty. And I remember going to confession, and I had to, at 7 years old, I had to come up with a lie so that I had a sin to tell in the confessional. None of that made sense to me at all. And I remember... So all these years, right, growing up in this Catholic faith, it never made sense to me. And so some years later into my adulthood, I did get connected to my Oneida roots. And I'm telling you, it was as though a puzzle piece was put right where it belonged. Oganahe. I felt I was almost home. You know, our blood remembers, and for me this is, I guess I will always believe that our bones remember. I can pick up Willow and create a basket, like, I can do beadwork. I mean, how did I ever learn to do beadwork? I can dance to those sacred dances. Something is familiar. So it started back all those years ago in that Catholic church that I did not understand, that was foreign to me. And all these winters later, I come here not only to this beautiful family of UU, but I have feel like I have come home. Yes, I go into those ceremonies at my reservation, the longhouse, and participate in those sacred rituals, but I feel I have family everywhere. I feel that Ungweo is everywhere for me. And so I don't separate my spirituality from my family. I don't separate my craft making from you. I don't separate the music. It is all interconnected. For me, spirituality continues to evolve. And for me, mostly, when I get outside there and I take my shoes off and I touch my feet on that sacred earth, Ukinoa, Uncha, our mother, our first mother, the earth, Ukinoa, Uhuncha, I know I have finally come home. Matakuyase, a hope.
Morning. My name is Marty, and I have the honor of following the only professional storyteller I've ever followed in my entire life. As I was thinking about what to share about my beliefs today, I couldn't help but think about some of the math teachers that I used to drive absolutely crazy as a kid. I tried to do way too much work in my head, just wanting to get credit for the right answer. Back then, aside from getting partial credit occasionally, I didn't understand the benefits of showing my work. It dawned on me that this childhood experience in math class is very much like my spiritual growth. I can do a certain amount of work on my own, but it's not as rewarding as working with others and understanding different paths people take. So if I approach today's exercise the way I approached math class in third grade, I'd scribble secular humanist on a note card, I'd turn it in early, and then I'd leave to go do something else. But for you to understand more about me and how my beliefs have evolved, you need to hear more than a label. You need to hear some of my stories. Despite being kind of a math and science guy, I believe it's important to define ourselves in more than physical terms. I could say I'm a unique collection of cells differentiated into tissues and organs, and that might be scientifically accurate, but I believe what truly defines me is the collection of relationships I represent. My family of origin has Jewish roots, but neither my sister nor I were forced to continue our religious education, so I stopped going to temple around age 10. My dad was an engineer, my mom was a teacher, and to say we had a structured household would be an understatement. Depending on your viewpoint, planning was either a virtue or an overused strength. I used to joke that it was okay to be spontaneous so long as we blocked off time for spontaneity on the family calendar. Aside from planning, two of the most important virtues in our household were family connections and self-reliance. My extended family isn't large, but they are diverse in personalities and life experiences. I had an uncle who survived the Holocaust, although his parents and some of his siblings did not. My other uncle and his wife treated me like an adult from a very young age. They fueled many of our family discussions about politics and religion, and it had a huge impact on me as I came of age. They are also somewhat free spirits who didn't set boundaries quite like my parents. My most vivid childhood memory was when I was 12 years old. We'd go into Chicago virtually every month to visit family. Both my parents grew up there. And the tradition was my parents would drive my dad's parents in one car, and my sister and I would go with my aunt and uncle in another car. So we had our typical monthly dinner. And after dinner, I jokingly said to my uncle when I was 12 years old, "Hey, I'll drive home." Without blinking, he flipped me the keys to his brand new Buick Electra, which in 1981 was a fairly large vehicle, and I'm a fairly short guy, so here I am, 12 years old, getting my first driving lesson on the north side of Chicago. I remember vividly getting home, and it took us a while. The restaurant was like 2 miles from my grandparents' house, and my dad was pacing, wondering where the heck we were. And at first I casually said, "Oh, yeah, your brother let me drive home," and he didn't believe me. And finally, a half hour later, he came up to me, finally having all this sink in, and he said, "You know what? I know my brother has lousy judgment, but you should know better." In addition to my loving family, I had wonderful and diverse neighbors and friends growing up. One of my college buddies once mentioned that he had a sister living in Boston that attended a UU church, and he could totally picture me in that faith. And his offhanded comment back in 1988 took over 5 years to take root, and it radically changed my life. When we moved to Appleton 13 years ago, we had three criteria for our search. One was I needed to find a job. The second was we wanted to be within a two-hour drive of all of our kids' grandparents, some outside of Madison and some outside of Milwaukee. And the third is we wanted to find a thriving UU congregation. Over the years, this fellowship has really helped sharpen my spiritual views and provided me with amazing friends. I believe in the power of relationships to heal and to encourage and to make life worth living. I believe decisions we make tend to be better when we feel the support of people who care about us. I believe people who make decisions in isolation are more likely to cultivate destructive emotions and actions than those who have strong connections. I believe communities like ours help us face and conquer our fears. When we're connected to people we trust, our fears are less likely to paralyze us. Movement is so much easier when we have a strong support system, as well as role models to help illuminate paths we may not have seen in our families of origin or when we're more isolated. I believe gratitude is a virtue. And for me, that means thinking daily about how much we have been given and acknowledging the scope of our dependence. I believe some of my greatest joys in life are very simple pleasures, whether it's feeling grateful for a hot shower every morning, or hearing the laughter of all my kids watching an episode of The Big Bang Theory, or the sweetness found in the very first cherry tomato that comes out of our garden in a given summer, or our traditional family birthday meals when each person takes turns sharing things they love and appreciate about the people we're celebrating, or biking with one of my kids or a group of buddies when we can enjoy fresh air and exercise and feel comfortable talking about absolutely anything or say absolutely nothing and still enjoy each other's company. And finally, I believe that in music we can find beauty, joy, comfort, and strength. I believe every one of us can make music, and we probably all should try. Until my early 20s, I didn't understand the value of a spiritual community. Today, I marvel at the way people here live fully and make a huge difference in one another's lives. I believe we have a saving message in this faith, and by that I'm not talking about avoiding damnation. I'm talking about right here and right now, there are people living lives that are uninspired, people who seek greater meaning, people who are outraged by injustice needing to join forces to make more of a difference, and there are people who hunger for hope. There are lots of people out there who need us, and as difficult as this once was for me to say, I need them too.
Good morning. I'm Hillary. I'm a third generation Unitarian Universalist. I hail from Oconomowoc, Wisconsin, and the little congregation of the Lake Country area where my parents were founding members. And bracing that their call of being founding members, I went to Lawrence, and I, between Roger, myself, and a few friends, helped start the Lawrence University Student Unitarian Universalist Organization. I now live in Appleton after graduating from Lawrence, and am truly happy to begin to call this congregation a spiritual home. So as you can imagine, growing up Unitarian Universalist, the values and beliefs that you've all come to love, I grew up knowing and believing the interconnectedness of all beings on Earth. It's essential to my core values and how I interact with people and our Earth. And through my experiences, I chose to share these few words with you today. This is a quote by Ralph Waldo Emerson. Though we travel the world over to find the beautiful, we must carry it with us, or we will find it not. On my own spiritual journey to lands both far and near, with people both strange and familiar, and in languages both comforting and unnerving, I have tried to internalize the wisdom offered by each setting. Right now, I find myself in one place, and with the opportunity to carry the beauty I have witnessed with me, and to let it be expressed through my actions. As a 22-year-old woman, I am living in my first apartment with a person I love deeply. I'm starting my first job as a teacher, entering the profession that I know will bring joy, challenge, fear, excitement, failure, and success to my life. It is a time for celebration. My question to myself, or challenge really, is to bring the experiences of beauty, hardship, and heartbreak that deeply affect me to my life, and to continuously make conscious choices that reflect those experiences. In attempting this, I have learned to be wary of, but also to indulge in, my individualistic and self-serving tendencies, but also to strike a balance, because I find that balance is extremely important in a careful and intentional life. But a balance between letting go of my expectations and wants and giving in to my drive to do and give more of myself. While reflecting upon what to share with you all today, I came across something I wrote nearly 10 years ago that still speaks to me. The essence of nature and the spirit of humanity are calling me. I feel I am growing out of a strong and grounded, yet ever adapting trunk. A trunk that supports growth and passion, but is able to bend in the winds of change. And the winds do change, don't they? I'm sure we experience them both together and separately. I feel my winds changing. I have been feeling and creating big changes, like which country I live in, what language I speak, and who I call friends and family. These changes came easily to me. Now I feel my trunk growing roots, and I notice smaller changes and want to be affected by them just as much, if not more, than I would be moving across the world. One poem that helps me to do this, to live every moment and to feel every breeze, is this. Look to this day, for it is the very life of life. In its brief course lie all the varieties and realities of existence, the glory of action, the bliss of growth, the splendor of achievement. For yesterday is but a dream, and tomorrow is only a vision. But every yesterday well lived, and today well lived, makes every yesterday a dream of happiness, and every tomorrow a vision of hope. Look well, therefore, to this day.
Good morning. I'm Don, and as a little boy, I used to think about the possibility of becoming either president or the Pope. Sadly, that's true. However, with the realization that my ambition outweighed my potential, eventually I became lucky enough to become part of a community that delves into religion as much as a quadrennial election, and one that revels in politics as much as the Vatican, including the wine, but minus the celibacy. Perfect. My journey to this special place of Unitarian Universalism actually did begin in a Catholic seminary. See, I wasn't kidding about that Pope thing. My first year of college I spent at St. Mary's Seminary College outside of Baltimore. And the first day of theology class, the professor walks in. He's a younger and very bright priest. He looks at our intimidated 18-year-old faces and says to us, "Now, I want you to sit there and think about everything you know about the Catholic Church. And then he pauses and says, and now forget it. I was in a state of shock. I'm thinking, why should I forget all those wonderful things that the priests and nuns taught me during my formative school years? But that directive, now turned in a way that the priest did not intend, got the wheels turning. The wheels of other possibilities, the wheels of what else is out there, the wheels of doubt. I began to dwell on the concept of quid pro quo. I began to think about this whole idea of be good so you can get to heaven. Really? The reason for existence is to do what you can in order to gain access to the pearly gates? It's not that my faith began to break down. It's that my brain began to build up. This reexamination occurred over the span of many, many years until I came to a point in life where I was ready to open my mind the way that I used to try and open my soul. And just when I needed them, three incredibly important people came into my life. Through his writings, the first one was Ralph Waldo Emerson. His beautiful ideas, his natural guidance, helped me understand that what happens here on earth, what happens in this life, is the true validation of existence. The second was a friend named Fred Sproul. Fred died about 5 years ago, but he was this really interesting human being who believed in the deepest of conversations, and he took me to my very first UU service. And the third and most amazing was the love of my life, my best friend, Ginger. In an early conversation in our relationship, she shared with me that she too had spent a bit of time pondering these questions about religion and faith and humanity, and started doing so in the seventh grade. Seventh grade? I was focusing on spin the bottle, and here Ginger was contemplating the meaning of life. Living in Florida, we joined the Sarasota UU congregation and became active members, gaining a real appreciation of the benefits that associated with bright, caring individuals bring. We were married at the Sarasota UU. And when we moved to Wisconsin this past October, one of the top items on our to-do list was to join this fellowship. Being a UU propelled me to the study of humanism, the formal study of humanism, which culminated in graduation in August of 2007 from the three-year program offered by the American Humanist Institute. And during my humanist studies, we read quite a bit of John Dewey. And something that he wrote best defines the role that I see Unitarian Universalism fulfilling in our world, which makes me very proud to be part of it. What Dewey asks and expects of all of us is to get the social organism thinking.